Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, go ahead and look with me to the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 31. And Wednesday nights, we've been going through and studying on the life of Joshua, the life of Joshua. And there's more than just the book of Joshua concerning the life of Joshua. And we've been looking at the different things for some time now, studying Joshua the man. And he was the son of Nun. And there were so many different things that we've already studied concerning Joshua the man. And I think it's important that we understand everything that God has recorded and given to us. If we're going to be studying a Bible character like this, there's something to be found and applied in all of it. And so the last message was Joshua was chosen by God, but mentored by Moses. Now, couldn't ask for a much better mentor than Moses outside of possibly Jesus Christ, amen? And but we find that Moses was the one that would mentor Joshua. Joshua needed to know, not only was he called by God and mentored by Moses, but God wanted him to be Joshua. Praise the Lord for those influences in our lives that help us. Parents, godly parents, that instill all they can into the lives of their children, giving them the best chance to turn out right. The church is here to help parents who want to raise their children, the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And as we do that, they still have a free will, but you're giving that child the best chance that you can give that child to turn out right by mentoring that child, by setting an example of Christianity before that child, by making sure that they're in church and being taught the Word of God and reemphasizing what you're trying to teach them as a parent as well. And so praise the Lord for parents, and praise the Lord for youth pastors and pastors and all of those that might have a part in mentoring our young people. But no matter who mentors them and how great a mentor they might be, God wants you to be you. There was only one Moses. Amen. There's a lot of those that he mentored, a lot of those that he set an example for. Can I tell you, there's only one Jesus Christ. And what a blessing to know that I don't have to be Jesus. I just need to represent him. I can't be him. There's no way. I've got a sin nature. But I have him as an example to look to. But as I look to him, he wants me to be me. Following after him, me in the will of God, is the best me that there can be. Does that make sense? You in the will of God is the best you that you can be. So Joshua in the will of God would be the best Joshua he could be, not trying to be Moses, but to be thankful for Moses, the mentor, but to be Joshua, the man God designed him to be. I love that, because each one of us, God has a personal expectation from your life. My mom had 13 children, and she said every one of them was different, and she had a different love for each one. She loved all of her children, but each one was different. She had seven boys and six girls. Now, she did say she would have preferred having all boys, which was good for us, amen. But Dad always said he would prefer that he had had all girls. So they kind of balanced each other out. But the main thing was each one had their own personality. Each one were individuals. And God's given us all an individual spirit, an individual will. And so praise God for his call. Praise God for those in whom he allows to be mentoring us. But be you. Don't try to be somebody that you're not. Be all that God has designed you to be. And that's what Joshua, we've been studying that, and that's what he had to come to that understanding, that he needed to be Joshua in the will of God. So tonight we find here in Deuteronomy chapter 31, go ahead and stand with me. Joshua, as it's right there, he's been mentored, he has been prepared, he's right on the cuff of being the next leader of the nation of Israel. And given the task that no one else had been given, that is to lead the nation of Israel into the promised land. What a task. And so we find here that Joshua receives a charge given to him with the understanding of what God's plans was for him by Moses. And Deuteronomy chapter 31. Now, Moses is addressing the entire nation of Israel, but then in verse 7 and 8, he addresses Joshua. So let's read here. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 7. And Moses called unto him, unto Joshua, and said unto him, in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go. Thou must go with this people into the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee. He neither forsake thee, fear not, neither be dismayed. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee, fear not, neither be dismayed. What a challenge. And let's pray. Our Father, as we bow before you, we thank you for this truth. And as we've been studying this life of Joshua, I pray that night, God, that we would also receive what you have for us through this understanding of the man, Joshua, and the call upon his life. And I pray, God, that you might just help each one of us to be able to learn things that we can apply to our own call and to our own lives. Empower the preaching of thy word once again. For this we ask in Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. So Joshua now receives a charge given to him by Moses in front of all the whole nation of Israel. Now, I like that, the idea of a charge. If you remember Sunday morning, we preached on a charge and a testimony for Timothy out of 2 Timothy chapter 4. We find that Paul was the one, before he would leave this earth and go on to be with the Lord, he knew that Timothy would be the next young pastor, and he had been mentoring Timothy. And before Paul would go off the scene, he would give Timothy a charge, and then he would give Timothy a personal testimony. And we preached on that Sunday, and I trust that was a help to you to understand some of those things. But this charge now, a charge is to cause to be excited or to move to action. It's what they're looking to do here. Moses' charge here to Joshua was to get him excited about serving God and to take the position that God had for him, and that would move him to doing this, what God had called him to do. Joshua listened to Moses. Moses was been mentoring him. Moses was Moses. I mean, he's seen him part the Red Sea. He saw him do all the things and going to the promised land. And then for 40 years back out into the wilderness, he witnessed Moses doing what only Moses could do and leading the nation of Israel. And now this same Moses tells Joshua that he must go. And as he must go, the outcome would be in his hands. and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. You're going to do this. You're going to make it happen. God's going to work through you, but he said, you're the one, Joshua. You must go and cause them. You must make it happen. I don't know about you, but I'm looking out to a couple of million people, and they put that pressure on me. I don't know if I would be up to the challenge. Even though it was Moses that was one that given me the charge, that's still a lot of pressure. I don't know about you, but when we had our first child, I'm thinking, I don't know if I can handle this. Because I'm going to have this responsibility for the rest of my life. We have this responsibility of a life. Anybody else have any of those thoughts, men, when they was trying to get you to come into the delivery room and watch your child being born into this world, and that's enough at that point to scare you to death? You know, they come out with white cover it all over them, and you think, oh, that child's never going to make it through this. They're not going to live. And then they do everything that they have to do to get that child to breathe, and then they put it in your hands. What a responsibility. And that's just the beginning. Then there's changing diapers. And then they become teenagers. Talk about scary. You want to lock them in that box throughout their teenage years, especially raising girls. I understood why mom said she would just soon have all boys. You don't have to worry about the boys as much as you have to worry about the girls, I don't think. I'm just trying to imagine the responsibility that now was placed on the shoulders of Joshua. Now, you're going to cause them. Moses is telling Joshua, now Joshua hadn't heard from God yet. We're going to get into that. But it was his mentor, it was Moses. And Joshua, I'm not going in. You must go. Nobody else. We haven't prepared anybody else. You're the only one. You must go. And not only must you go, but it's going to ride on your shoulders, and you must cause this to take place. And Joshua's thinking back 40 years ago. He went into the land of Canaan. He brought back a positive report, but can I tell you that the fear of those other 10 had been suppressed. The giants now have had 40 years to grow. You think they was big 40 years ago? These giants are now 40 years older, more mature. They got more of them. And you are going to cause the nation of Israel possibly to succeed or to fail. I trust you're getting that. I mean, whatever the hardest thing you've ever been given in your life, the pressures of whether it's raising children, maybe taking on a wife, taking on a husband, for some taking on certain men, the biggest challenge of your life, there's no doubt. Yeah. Whatever it might be, just kind of times that by about 100 and think about, or even more maybe, the pressures that Moses is now putting on Joshua. Wow. I love verse 8. Because I'm sure Joshua is thinking when he hears the second verse, Thank you, Moses, for helping me to see God in the midst of my responsibilities, in the midst of my pressures, my burdens, others' expectations of me. Because then Moses said, and the Lord, you must go, thou shalt cause them to inherit it, but the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. If you want to be Joshua, the man of God, in the will of God, you can count on this. If you want to be the woman of God, in the will of God, no matter what the pressures, you can count on this. If you want to be the teenagers, in the will of God, you can count on this. Teenagers have pressures. It's going to get worse. The day and age we're living in right now, and what society is trying to do to the minds of our children, it's only going to get worse. For our children to hold on to their faith and to hold on to what God has given to them as far as the next generation, there's a lot of pressure. But if they want to be all that God wants them to be, teenagers in the will of God, then you can look to verse 8 and you say, it's going to be the Lord, he it is that doeth, doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, and neither be dismayed. Don't be discouraged, if you will. You can get the job done. Amen. And I can just imagine, I mean, the pressure that was on Joshua, and then he helped him by realizing that really the pressure's not on me. The pressure's, I'm the servant of God. And so if I'm his servant, I'm representing him, it is his testimony that's on the line. Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 8. Do you see yourself as a servant of God? I remember bowing before the Lord, God, I can't raise these children. I can't be the husband to my wife. I cannot be the father of these children that I need to be without you. That's why we dedicated our children to the Lord. Give them back to God, because God, they're yours. Now, if you've chosen and you have chosen us to raise them for you, and I know it's going to be up to us to cause them to want to be and stay in church and live right and do right and all the different things, but God, I can't do it without you. That's where Joshua's at. And that's exactly where Joshua needed to be. Parents, that's where you need to be. Husbands, that's where you need to be. Teenagers, that's where you need to be. In Isaiah, because if you're there, then the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 8 says this, but thou, Israel, art my servant. God speaking through Isaiah, telling the nation of Israel, you're my servants, you're representing me. Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called thee from the chief men thereof and said unto thee, thou art my servant. I have chosen thee. and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. That's good stuff right there. That really is. So Joshua receives the charge given to him by Moses. And it's a good charge. And there's a whole lot there. But Joshua would still need, and he would receive, a charge from God. Go over a couple pages to Joshua in chapter 1. Because this is the man Joshua. This is the beginning of the book of Joshua. This is the beginning of his leadership. Now, after the death of Moses, one of the last things that Moses did was give Joshua this charge. After the death of Moses, a servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua. How many times have you read that and just read right past it? But when you take into account everything that God's given us leading up to this, that's a powerful statement. Amen? Yeah. The Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, click in, Joshua. Now, therefore, arise, go. Even though Joshua would have believed that Moses was aware of God's will for his life, Moses had already did it. Moses already now taken a lot for granted. Or did Moses hear from God and God said, Moses, Joshua, train him, mentor him, he's the next one. And I believe that Moses had that insight. God had already spoken to Moses. Moses knew that this was God. Joshua hadn't heard God speak to Moses. Joshua heard Moses speak to Joshua. And so, but it wasn't enough to put all of his faith in Moses' challenge, Moses' charge, Moses telling me, this is what God's will is for my life. Praise the Lord for mentors and all that have had a part in it. But can I tell you that Joshua, with all of this riding on his shoulders, for him to be able to take on the task at hand, he needed to hear from God. And he did. Joshua need a personal charge given to him from God after Moses died. Because Moses wasn't there to talk to him anymore. Moses had given him his final charge, his final encouragement, his final message. And then God spoke to Joshua. I remember when I was surrendering God's will to God's will for full-time ministry, quitting my job, which I loved. Thought I would always be an auto body repair man, fixing Porsches and Audis and straightening frames. making more money than any young person should have been making at my age, in a career that I loved. And God called me to quit that job and be the youth pastor of a church, which I'd been preparing, didn't realize why I was going to Indiana Baptist Bible College and going to night courses and studying. I just thought I was going to better my understanding of the Bible and the will of God. I always wanted to serve the Lord. Didn't realize that he was going to call me to pastor. But when that happened, I know I started reading one night and said, I'm not going to stop reading until I know it's God's will. For me to be an independent fundamental Baptist preacher, to change everything, I had to know it was God's call. And I remember early in the hours reading, just staying in the Bible, because, can I tell you, I'm not going to hear an audible voice. You're not going to hear an audible voice. When you read the Bible, God speaks to us. I started looking at the doctrines. Am I going to give my life to preaching the doctrines? I have to believe them. I have to know why I'm going to be an independent fundamental Baptist preacher. Bible college couldn't give me that confidence. It helped. My pastor couldn't give me that confidence. It helped. All those mentors, my brother at the time, it helped. I need to hear from God. I thank God that I heard from him, in that I knew that the Bible was the Word of God, and God had called me to preach it. God's charge to Joshua was right on time. And can I tell you that God's timing is always perfect? Joshua didn't need to hear from God why Moses was alive, not then, because God had given Moses to Joshua to mentor him. Focus on what Moses is mentoring you. Focus on learning from Moses God's plan, God's purpose, and God's ways. You need to learn to wait on God. In our lives, we need to learn to wait on God and resist the temptation to force open doors of opportunities. Sometimes we want to get ahead of God and we want to force open a door that it's not ready for that door yet, whatever that might be. We need to wait to make sure that it is God, rather than force open a door of opportunity. Can I tell you, God knows where you're at in life. Sometimes get married way too soon just to be married. Sometimes we change jobs way too soon before you've accomplished what God had you at that place of employment to accomplish. I'm telling you, there's so many different areas of life that we need to wait on God and not force open doors that's not in God's timing. Not that God's not going to open that door, but it's in God's timing. It's important. Joshua was where he was at. Good or bad, you are where you're at tonight. You might not be where you wanted to be at this point in your life. I don't want to still be under somebody else. I want to start my own business. I want to do this. I want to do that. And I understand. But are you wanting to do it your way? Are you wanting to be the servant of God? Then you have to wait on God. Back in Isaiah chapter 40, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28, the Bible says, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Praise the Lord that Joshua waited on God. Charged by Moses, but waited on God. And now, God comes to Joshua. Can I tell you? God will come to you. God wants you to know his will. God wants you to follow his plan for your life. Don't get in too big of a hurry. Make sure that you're doing what God wants you to do. He says now, back there in Joshua, go back, and we're almost done here, so we're follow with me here. Moses, my servant, is dead. He's gone. Now, therefore, arise. Now, at this point, it's time. We briefly, I think it was the second week of the study here, on studied the time for mourning. When you lose somebody, there's a time for mourning. The time between Moses' death, we find in Deuteronomy chapter 34 and verse 8, and Joshua 1:1. In Deuteronomy, it said that there was 30 days of mourning. And that would have been normal time to mourn the loss of a leader. God gave them 30 days. Now, if there was more time, there could have been, but we know that there was at least 30 days after Moses died and Joshua heard from God. Because there is time of mourning. As we go through any major change in life, you got to give yourself time. Now, God's in control of the major as well as the minor issues of life. He doesn't cause it all to happen, but God has to at least allow it. As you go through some of the, especially the major changes in life, and this would have been a major change in Joshua and the nation of Israel's life. They lost one of the greatest leaders this world's ever known. These that are now ready at the door of the promised land were raised the 40 years out in the wilderness. They had never known another leader. And now he's gone. Joshua had not, he had been focused on following Moses, having enough confidence to know that God was leading Moses, and so he was actually serving God by serving Moses. He understood that. But now Moses is gone, and so we find here that is a major change in their lives. You have to give yourself time. For Joshua and the people will need to adjust their thinking. Their whole lives. Moses, what should we do? Moses, what is God's will? Moses, or maybe Mom, Dad, can I do this? Mom, Dad, can I do that? Mom, Dad. It's a major change when teenagers graduate high school, go off to college. Is that right, Mark? One of our college students coming back brought somebody back with him. Amen. That's part of the major change. You no longer got mom and dad watching over you. You no longer got mom and dad saying, no, you're going to do this. You're going to go to bed early enough so you're going to get up early. Major changes. Moses is gone. My thinking has to change. I've got to start using the tools that were given to me by my mentors to start making the right decisions. Or not. Some choose not to. Not only do we need to give our time, self time to adjust our thinking, we have to also give ourselves time enough to adjust in our emotions. What a void to lose a parent. What a void to lose a mentor. It's emotional. Sometimes emotions are going to lead you to make a decision that's really not in the will of God. It's based on emotions. Those emotions can change. Wrong thinking can lead you to make a decision that's not in the will of God. Give yourself time to adjust your thinking, to adjust your emotions. Listen to the voice of the Lord. Moses, my servant, is dead. He's not coming back. That part of your life is over. Now, I've prepared you for what's now. You might not understand it. I've prepared you for what's now. And if you look to me, I'll give you the right instructions. I'm not going to leave you nor forsake you. I'm going to lead you. And we'll get into that in the next message here. But now, therefore, you are where you're at. The changes have been made. Arise. The best thing for us after a loss is to arise. Because God's kept you alive. God has already revealed to you that He has a purpose for your life. And He's going to be with you to fulfill that purpose. You're ready. Go do it. And that's what He's saying. Go do it. Thou, not only you, Joshua, but all this people that will be impacted by your leadership. Pressured back on. But now he knows it's time. And he realized, as God was with Moses, now God is going to be with me. And because of what I've experienced and how he led and empowered Moses, I'm confident that he'll empower me to accomplish his will for my life as Joshua. Good stuff. Good stuff. Joshua now is ready for the task at hand. If I could have every head bowed at this point, every eye closed, for just a minute, just think about it. Not only is it impacting your life, it'll impact that child's life as you raise them. Impact your husband's life as you look to be that wife. It'll impact your wife's life as you look to be that husband. It'll impact the church as you look to be the church member that God has called you and prepared you to be. Charge from Moses. And even something more powerful, a charge from God. Father, we bow before you now. We love you. Thank you for the truth of Joshua. And as we get into now the book of Joshua, there's so much that we can learn and study. And I pray that you just continue to meet with us and bless in the study of the life of Joshua. Now, I pray that you'd help us, that there's decisions that need to be made, that we'd be ready and willing to make that even tonight. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.